Recovery 101, Recovery Bites. Recovery 101, Recovery Bites. Recovery Bites. Recovery Bites.
Thank you to Stephanie for our throwback Recovery 101 jingle. Right here at the beginning, we have to ask this. We need some jingles because many of the jingles we have from the past that we use over and over again have Bruce, Shelley, and Mark, but Mark isn't on the show anymore, so it's Bruce, Shelley, and Tara. Now, you don't necessarily have to say the host name.
And it's not Tara.
It's
Tara.
Tara.
Well,
Tara.
The thing is,
Kentucky there for a minute.
I know.
You know what happened? I turned you into a giant plantation and Gone with the Wind.
Well, actually, that's what I was named after, and my middle name is Catherine, like Catherine Scarlet.
Oh my God.
Only spelled differently.
Oh my God.
That was my show tune mother over
so
there.
So what we need to do is it has to say Recovery 101. If it says Recovery 101 Radio, Recovery 101 Show, we don't care as long as it sounds good as a jingle. Now,
sounds interesting, or it doesn't have to sound good. Some of our best jingles have been done that were not technically good, because, you know, I mean, when you record them on your phone in the bathroom, you get some interesting sounds, but they were favorited by our listeners and by us. Do you know how hard it is to get Fran's jingle out of your head?
Oh, no, I know.
Yes. Or Bill's?
I know. So, guys, Recovery 101 Idol is on again.
Yes.
And think about this. If you send us one quickly, it'll probably get a lot of playtime because it'll be the first one we get, which means it'll be... Oh, and plus, we're going to play it. We're going to use it no matter what.
Right.
So if you send us a jingle, we're going to use it at least once.
We will try it out, for sure.
Even if it's horrible, it'll get at least one play. And by the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelley.
And Tara.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet. So.
What's my take?
Turned into Mark.
Well, that used to be a thing that Mark and I used to do.
Ah.
So we're hearkening back to the day.
That's cool.
So what's been going on lately, guys?
Oh, this is the banter portion.
The banter? This is the banter portion of your show.
I don't know.
What have you been doing?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Tara in like 6 days.
I know. I didn't go to that Friday night meeting.
You know, and there's not that many meetings around here, so when people don't show up at like two meetings, we're like,
oh, what's
going on? Somebody relapsed.
Where are
they? Yeah, no, okay, so Friday, I drove my son up to Oracle to a friend's house, and I thought that I was going to Tucson.
What is Oracle?
Oracle is a small town up by Globe, so it's like you go up to Tucson, and then you go east for like another half an hour. So it was 2 hours to get there, and then it was 2 hours to get back. So by the time that we got to that Tombstone meeting, it was like 10 minutes late, and it was pouring rain, and there was nowhere close to park. And I'm like, I'm not walking into this meeting with my daughter looking like drowned rats and disturbing the meeting whenever I'm going to a women's meeting in the morning. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. So, and then I had to drive back up to Tucson and pick him up on Saturday. So that was fun.
The guys from the recovery facility were plastered against the windows of the place watching the lightning show.
They were.
Oh, I bet.
Astonished. It was astounding. I loved it. I love the thunder and lightning out here.
I tried to Snapchat the lightning, and every time the lightning went off, it just like overexposed everything on the camera. It was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was really beautiful to see it in the distance as I was driving back towards home.
Yeah.
You know, that was really cool.
Well, when the other night, it was really storming, not here, but it was storming like over Tombstone or something, or maybe even out as far as Wilcox, and we were watching just tons of lightning bolts.
It's happened a few times, actually, when we've had the lightning show.
Yeah, I love monsoon season. I really miss the rain the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't really miss the rain, but I don't mind when it's here. I'll take a couple months of thunderstorms,
I miss water
the rest of the time,
and green.
The rest of the time, it reminds me of Oregon.
Huh.
You know, I don't, you know.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind living somewhere like that, or like Ireland, where it's like all misty and rainy all the time, you know, Scotland,
something
like that.
You've never been to Ireland, have you?
No, but that's what I always, you know,
it's like,
that's what you
see. It's like all of my ancestors are from Scotland.
Right,
and I don't,
And we're Irish, so
I don't have any desire to go to Scotland. I really don't.
I could hole up in a little cottage and be just fine. You leave me alone with a fireplace and the rain and a couple books.
Some haggis?
I would like to actually try haggis. It's supposed to be a superfood.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading an article about haggis, how it's the nutritional content is like through the roof.
Have you ever had lamb fries?
No.
Have you ever had lamb fries?
No.
You should have lamb fries.
Fascinating. Like, is it kind of like a what are those fries that they have up in Canada with the gravy?
No. It's
like, is
not
it like that?
That?
Like, no. It's not lamb on fries.
They're testicles.
Oh,
sheep testicles.
Okay. All right.
Lamb fries.
How did I not know that? I mean, I cooked professionally for like a really long time.
It's from a Chevy Chase movie where he's at some. I think it was flat. No, it was.
No,
a
it was
funny
a farm.
Farm.
A funny farm.
And he's at this little cafe, right?
Okay, yeah, before me. Before
he's like, lamb fries. What the heck's that? Lamb fries. And the guy's like, you want to try them? He goes, yeah. So he eats them. He's like, wow, those are fantastic. They're like, you want some more? And he's like, yeah. And then pretty soon they're like, you know, if you eat two more, you'll have the record. You know, and he eats the two more, and they're like, you have the record for eating sheep's balls. And he's like, what? So
Kentucky oysters, similar to Kentucky oysters.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
I'll get it, man.
You're close.
You're almost there.
That time. Really close.
Okay. We didn't have a lot in the news. And you know, considering I posted twice this week on Podomatic, we didn't get a lot of notifications. I don't know what's going on with the notifications, so we can do shout outs. So we'll have to see. But I do have shout outs to Bill, Damon, Yvette, Aaron, who is new, and Monty, and we'll throw in Fran and Elizabeth and Lee and Wendy and Roland.
See, now you've done it, because you're gonna start naming people and you're gonna forget people.
I know.
Greg.
John and Johnny.
Greg.
Jeremy.
Owen Mark was new. I don't know. Who else is like in the usual roundup? Bunch of people.
There's a bunch of people.
Anyway,
there's a bunch of names that could Alexandria and
Georgette.
Yeah.
Jane Lynn. Okay, anyway. The first story is from Bill.
Eventually we're gonna be like, welcome to Recovery 101, and then you're gonna start the shout out list. And then at the
half
end
an hour
of the
later.
Shout out list, I'm gonna be like, everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Bill sent this one in. This is in Brazil. And Brazil has an interesting scorpion called the yellow scorpion, which apparently the venom from this particular scorpion is like twice what other breeds are.
Really?
Mm.
Well, because there's bark scorpions in the Egyptian and like those black scarab typey ones, and there's a whole bunch of different kinds of scorpions. And these are called yellow scorpions. And I saw a picture of one.
Are they yellow?
No.
Of course.
Well, the body is like dark brown, and the stinger tail is sort of orangey yellow. I guess you could say it was yellowish.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, crap. I just lost the news. Hold on. Okay. Anyway, so this is in Brazil. Because of, you know, people moving into areas that were not previously
rainforest.
Right. Yeah. Right.
There has been rise in deaths from scorpion stings because these are apparently very toxic scorpions. Now, in the last year, however, they have doubled because the scorpions have figured out that the giant cockroaches in the less affluent areas of the cities are like freaking caviar to these things.
Really?
So they're coming into the cities to get these cockroaches. So the cockroach population is way down, but people are getting killed by the scorpions.
You know what those scorpions are doing? They're rocking them like a hurricane.
Yeah. Ha.
I mean,
do you even get that?
No, I got that. But I mean, like with deforestation, like who's really, who's really taking over? Really invading what here?
Yeah, you know what I say is, what do the natives do with these things? Is
the people that actually lived in the rainforest.
These guys are living amongst them,
right?
And not all dying.
Right? the number of people who died doubled in the last year from 70 last year to 184 this year.
That's, you know, for, I don't know how big the population is where this is, but if it's on the verge of rainforest, the population is probably not gigantic. It's
right.
not like being in
no.
Brasilia or something like
right,
that.
Right, right. You just killed off half a
so
town.
So 180 people is probably a pretty good...
It is, but when you consider that the entirety of, like, in Brazil... hospitalizations from scorpion stings went from 37,000 one year to 126,000 the next year.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. So basically what we're saying here is I'm not going to go to Brazil anytime soon.
Right.
I got enough to deal with the tarantulas.
But apparently the scorpions are going to go there.
See, and you guys have tarantulas, but in Tombstone we have the scorpions, but we don't have any tarantulas. So, haha.
We're moving to Tombstone.
I'd rather have the tarantulas who don't hurt you instead of the scorpions that'll kill the dogs.
Oh, come on. The scorpions are like the size of a quarter, maybe two quarters at the most. And you can
Which
see
is
them.
Plenty
I mean,
big
they're
enough
clear.
To kill a chihuahua.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. So we'll just. I don't know what we'll do.
We'll take a bunch of tarantulas with them and let them fight it out with the scorpions.
No. All you have to do is keep your doors closed. I mean, you know, like if you have a screen door, that's fine. But like whenever we leave the sliding glass door open, you know, for the dog to freely come in and out and get that extra breeze, we don't have a sliding screen on that patio door. And so that's the only time that we ever notice them in the house is whenever we've left the door open for several hours, you know, during the day or something like
so
that.
So wherever we go, it's got to have a screen.
Yeah, that's all. No
we
big
leave
deal.
Leave the door open all the time here.
But the screen is closed.
All the time.
Okay, anyway, my friend Sonny.
I love
Sonny,
the scorpions.
Yeah, I know you do, honey. my friend Sonny posted this next story.
Old jokes.
And Sonny is not one of us. She's just a friend of mine on Facebook.
Okay.
And I told her I would give her credit on the show because she posted this. She's from Texas, and the story takes place in Austin, Texas, and apparently, you know, it's close to where she lives. The fire department in Austin, Texas, has been called not once, not twice, but four times in the last week to the same tortilla factory
what?
To put out a fire because of spontaneously combusting tortilla chips.
What?
Stop.
Is this like a thing like no. sawdust? At the
this was
stop.
Actually on CNN. Actually, this is a real story. This is really happening. So what they do is they're when they have like broken chips or pieces that fall on the floor or whatever, they sweep them up and they put them into a box to like throw them away, right?
Sure.
So this is like sawdust and flour mills that explode.
But it's not flour. I mean, they're chip bits.
No, but
similar concept,
It happens. It happens with sawdust at like lumber
yes,
places.
Yes, I know. Flour is one of the most
stuff in the air, and it gets
flour
explosive.
Is one of the most explosive substances on the planet if you aerosolize it.
Frickin' Betty Crocker was a terrorist.
One of the biggest fires in the 1800s was at a flour mill.
Really?
Yeah, somewhere back in like Kansas or something.
Fascinating.
Like that. Anyway. So they put the chip bits into boxes, and then they just stack the boxes over to the side before they would take them out to the dumpsters or whatever. And what happened was, and they didn't realize this until the fourth time the fire department came out, was that there was a leak in one of the lines where the fry oil goes into a vat, and the boxes were soaking up oil on the bottom. So those would go, boom, because it was so hot.
Yeah.
And the chips would spontaneously combust because
wow.
it was like really freaking hot last week.
Wow.
And then the fire department said, the fire department guys were like, well, we'd put out the fire and turn around, another box would go up in flames. It was just that hot.
Oh,
now,
wow.
And I'm going to quote the fire department spokesperson because this made me kind of chuckle. And I'm quoting this person. And there's no name given in the story, just the fire department spokesperson says,
Fred.
Tortilla chips are big business around these parts. We take them seriously, as they are responsible for holding all manner of very important things.
Like guacamole.
Like queso, salsa, nachos, guacamole, and various other sundry items that are critical to a Texan's everyday life and well-being.
That was
the actual quote.
I love
from,
that.
That's a fire
I love
department?
That.
Yes, the fire department spokesperson. We take this very seriously.
Down on the border, yeah. Baby.
I love that.
That's fantastic.
That's great. That's really great. He's passionate about his Mexican food. Yeah, yeah.
He is.
That'd be like if you're in Little Italy, you know, in New York, and there was, you know, pizza spontaneously combusting. They would be like, look, This is important. This is very to the serious business. Right yeah. Here.
Okay, you know how everybody talks
I'm
about.
I'm surprised it wasn't like the local stoner going, "Look, man, corn chips are very important around here."
He did definitely sound like a stoner, didn't he?
Dude.
Okay. How are we going to snack now?
Yeah, really.
What are we going to put all this queso
Dude,
on?
Where's the Doritos, man? Gilligan's Island's about to start.
Okay, the next story's out of Las Vegas. And you know how everybody complains about how, you know,
did
you
Mark
go
send
to,
it?
No.
Bastard.
You go to, he's in Hawaii right now.
Double bastard.
Everybody complains about going to emergency rooms and hospitals and how expensive they are, right?
Yeah.
Well, one hospital in Las Vegas said, hold my beer. They have charged. Oh, your phone is ringing.
It's outside.
Okay.
I don't care.
They've charged a family.
It's going to be my mom who always calls and goes,
right in the middle
of
the show.
Are you recording a show?
That's so yeah. funny.
Brianna Lee is 14 years old. No, she's 9 years old. Sorry.
I wonder if they're going to hear that. They probably will.
Her mom, you know, is showing her, decides, you know, you're old enough. I'm going to show you how to pump gas, right? So they're at the gas station.
Oh, okay. No.
Which
already
doesn't
sound like it's going to be bad.
That sounds reasonable. You're going to teach your kid how to do basic life skills. When
Kid's
Brianna
gonna be huffing gas in a minute.
When Brianna went to take the nozzle good. Out, it kind of popped
smell.
Up and a little bit of gasoline splashed into her eyes and her eyes started to burn. So her mom ran her into the gas station bathroom to wash out her eyes. The attendant saw what had happened and came out because at the gas station, because they work with chemicals, they have a sterile eye wash cup and stuff
right.
to help her clean out her eyes and stuff.
Good.
You know, but then they got back in the car and her eyes were still burning a little and her mom was worried. So she took her to the ER. The doctor that saw her said, well, we got to wash her eyes out. And she's like, but I just did that. The nurse came in, and that was the only time they saw the doctor. The doctor did nothing else. The nurse came in and said, there's an eyewash station over here. The eyewash station, when they got there, was so unsanitary and filthy that the nurse wouldn't let them use it and said, here, use this sink.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And then when they got the bill, they were charged $800 for her mother to wash her eye out in the sink, and that was all the hospital did.
No way.
They didn't even... In the chart, all the chart said was came in for, you know, substance in the eyes, blah, 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 was directed to wash the eyes out and didn't use the actual eyewash station because it was too unsanitary. That was the entire chart.
Wow.
Now, so the $800 just to use the sink, $600 to see the doctor, and then, you know, $1,000 to be in the whole thing added up to all this stuff. And all they did was literally go to the sink and wash her mother did it.
Right.
The doctor didn't do it.
After
the nurse
they had already
didn't
done it.
Touch her. Yeah.
So how much are they suing for?
They're not. What they're doing is they want an investigation because they want to know why a doctor who didn't actually touch or look at her child at all is charging for his services.
Right.
On all of that.
Yeah.
On all of that.
The hospital itself this is Centennial Hills Hospital in Las Vegas. The hospital itself is not releasing a statement to this effect. But
I bet they're not.
But they will. But they
they're
will.
They're conferring with their lawyer before they release anything.
Absolutely.
They will investigate it because there is a practice called upcoding that is now becoming an industry-wide problem where just because you walked in the door, they automatically assign certain charges even if you did not utilize those things.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Okay, and this is in...
Florida.
Thank you. Key West, Florida.
Oh, that's where, what's her name? Don Wilder lives.
Ah.
I'd love to go there. It's beautiful.
Well, the name of the person is not in this because, and you can look up the video on YouTube if you want to. Just type in $300,000 Lamborghini.
We're protecting the
And it might come
innocent.
Up.
Yeah, that would be all Lamborghinis.
It was cell phone video. That was posted, you know, rich young guy, dude bro, and his, you know, hot girlfriend.
And his fake tan?
Yeah. Oh, totally fake tan. Oh, my gosh. I saw the picture. He looks
really?
Like, he looks slightly red on one side of his face and arm is like kind of red. But then it looked like he tried to spray tan himself and the other side is kind of tan.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she looks like she's been in one too many tanning beds.
Is his hair blonde?
No.
So it creates that like intense like contrast.
Yeah. No. So he's stuck in traffic, right? And he has this brand new $300,000 Lamborghini. And it's obviously been souped up for like racing, and it's got like those, you know, sponsorship things on it to make it look all cool and whatnot.
I'd just like to know why you need to soup up a Lamborghini.
That's what I was just going to say.
I don't know.
Okay, moving on.
So he's stuck in traffic.
Yeah, he's got a top speed of like 280 miles an hour.
And,
like, you know,
there's
let's just
like
make it faster.
Tons of people around, you know, walking around the streets of Key West. And, hey, you know, cool car, show us your car, I rev the car, blah, 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 you know, egging him on. He gets out of the vehicle, takes a flying leap onto the hood of his brand new $300,000 Lamborghini, and goes right through the windshield.
Oh, like he was trying to, like, was
he was trying to be cool and jump up onto his car.
So
he was,
like, and slide across the hood, kind of thing.
He was going to do a Bo Duke. You
know,
picture
that's
as his foot.
Funny.
You can see him, like he's trying to surf across the top of the car.
Oh,
and he's
no.
got one foot. And it just, and you can see his girlfriend has her hands up, like, what the heck? You know, like,
yeah,
what are
like
you doing?
That's so funny.
And you know what? It's probably like a $4,000 or $5,000 windshield.
Oh, yeah.
I can just imagine.
Oh, my God.
And finally, for our stupid criminal of the week. We have Sarah Elizabeth Russell. Sarah Elizabeth Russell.
Oh, that's three names.
Yes.
So she's a dope fiend. Yes. It's always three names for a dope fiend.
Okay, yes. Okay. Like, I thought that it was just hillbillies that had three names.
No,
and I'm allowed to
no.
say that because I am one.
And
you
it's,
know?
And it's
my
great-grandmother
always called me Tara Catherine. You know,
yeah.
like you use the first, like the first and middle names to call
always,
any child.
It always seems to be that way with drug stories. So is
yeah.
this a drug
That's
story?
Yes, it is a
okay.
drug story. And she is the stupid criminal of the week. This is in Wichita County, Texas, in North Texas, at the it's the Wichita County prison in. Oh, I know. Never mind. I got that wrong. Anyway, so in North Texas. She was arrested for attempting to mail meth into the prison to a high-profile
murder. That's dumb.
Murder,
anyway.
What?
Convict. Yes, she
was. Did she put her own, like, return address on it?
She probably
oh, it wasn't
was that
just
dumb.
Her own return address. There were instructions in it, in her handwriting, on how to take the meth things that she's sending and what to do with them.
What an idiot.
Like the guy would not know how to do math.
Well, there's some weird thing. Like, I don't know. It's like meth that's formed into like a plastic stirring straw or something.
Well, this was
I've
a powder.
Heard of that.
Something
I've heard
like
of that.
That.
This was a powder form.
Well, it's meth.
And she just.
It's already ready. All you got to do is do it.
She just stuck it in like a card, and then her little instruction card was in there, and the mail room. Realized that envelope was a little bit thicker than all the normal envelopes.
Oh, they're going to open them all anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're going to open them.
Yeah. They check and see if there's extra paper in there
and
slit it open and all that kind of stuff.
We used to send drugs through the U.S. mail. I mean, back in the day. When you could still do that. Yeah.
In my head, I'm going, what's the statute of limitations on that?
You want to know what it is?
What?
7 years.
Okay. I think it's like that for pretty much everything.
Well, no, there's no statute of limitations on murder.
First degree murder.
Well, that
sure
doesn't surprise me, but
yeah.
That'd probably be like the only thing.
Yeah,
murdered that cocaine I was sending in the mail, I'll tell you
I know,
that.
That's right.
The other thing that was included in, along with her tips on how to do meth, were tips on how to disguise the drugs in jail.
What an idiot.
And I'm thinking, but it had your return address on the envelope. That's not a good disguise, Get Smart.
No, it's not.
Oh, man.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
That was way better.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back. So, we have a topic, Shelley.
Hey, Shelly, we have a topic.
It just occurred to me that Tara may not know why we're quiet for a minute, and then we say, we're back, because we put an ad from Dr. Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
you
heard that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not like that late night show that he used to do with Adam Carolla back in the 90s that I would stay up late and watch whenever my parents went to bed, right?
No.
No, but no. You're talking Love
really
Lines?
Yeah, Love Line.
That's still on, and he's still
on
it.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
It's
not with Adam Carolla anymore.
I remember whenever Adam Carolla switched over and started doing the Man Show, I was like totally heartbroken.
Girls on Trampolines.
Yes. Ziggy Zoggy, Ziggy Zoggy. Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, you know what? That wouldn't even fly today. girls be jumping on trampolines with Me Too signs.
PC. You got to be PC.
Yeah. Shelly has no idea what it is.
I've never seen either one of those things. What?
Yeah, girls on trampolines.
At the end of the man show, they had girls in bikinis with big boobs that would jump up and down on trampolines.
Yeah.
That was like the shtick.
Yeah, that was just how they closed every show. It was great.
They had a thing one time, and they did this thing called Camp Spreading Eagle, and they were going to porn camp. And like all of the instructors were like these porn stars.
I wonder if I can YouTube that.
So, oh yes, you can.
Okay.
So Peter North is there, right? And Jimmy Kimmel's like, oh, he's like Peter North. He's like, would you please autograph my penis? And or Adam Carolla says, could you please autograph
that
my penis?
That sounds like Adam
Carolla. He looks down and he goes, maybe I should just initial it.
Reminds me of this one time I was watching one of those shows on HBO about like hookers and the stuff that they do to their johns,
like,
and
the
chick,
something?
Yeah, something like that. And this chick was talking about how this one dude wanted her to carve her name into his genitalia with a razor blade.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy.
Why?
Man,
I saw one.
I'm a glutton for punishment, but geez.
For a second. There was this one in this, so they film like from afar, like they pick up a hooker and she's like mic'd and she's in there, and the guy goes, oh yeah, can I just get a blowjob? And she's like, yeah. She goes, let me take my teeth out. And the guy's like, what? And she's like, oh no, I guarantee you're gonna dig this. And he's like, you got dentures? And she goes, yeah, but I'll take them out. And the guy's like, oh, I don't know. And she goes, look. And she goes like this. She goes, look, you never had anything like this. If you don't like it, you don't have to pay. And then you see the guy sitting there, and the guy's like, oh, wow. Hey, wow.
That's really good.
And
yeah,
I'm like,
I've heard men make jokes about that kind of stuff to their wives. Like, oh, yeah, baby, I can't wait until you got dentures.
Well, you know what my grandfather used to say? Gray hair is great as long as you don't get a cut in your dentures.
Hell yeah.
That's so, Shelly, we have a topic that isn't about carving into genitalia or...
No, it's...
Or
it's
any
of
kind of hookers or anything? Yeah, I mean, maybe there are hookers, but...
I'm just watching a spider on the wall there. It just dropped down behind the computer. It wasn't very big. I'll smash
Chill,
it later.
Chill, Shelly. It's not a tarantula.
I'll smash it later. It's not a tarantula.
It's fine. It's not a tarantula.
There are many pathways to recovery.
Yeah.
There are.
Yes. There are.
All right, well.
My particular pathway is, you know, I take the 90 over to the 82 and make a right, and then I make a right on 80 and make a right on 2nd, and I park in front of the church.
Yeah. I mean, that works for me. I like dirty church basements.
You know
I don't.
Like?
I mean, this one's not even in a basement. That's pretty cool, you know?
That's a step up.
Yeah, they let us like upstairs.
An,
what?
It sounds like an episode of The Californians from Saturday Night Live where they're like, dude, so you take the 101 over to the... you know, that's it. The Arizonans. So,
yeah, but there are no basements in Arizona because the ground is too hard, and so that's why we don't go into meetings in basements here. Anyways, I digress.
Well, how about this? So there is, you know,
accurate.
We talk about which I didn't disclaimer at the beginning of the
show. Oh crap!
So we disclaimer every show, and I'll do it now.
Okay.
Where we say, you know, Recovery 101 doesn't speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFA.
Or any of them there, guys.
Or any of their guys. Now, the reason we do that, now those are all, with the exception of MM, those are all 12-step recovery programs.
Yes.
But, you know, the statistics say that your chances of staying sober are about the same no matter how you do it.
Oh, okay. So then now that I know that, because I wasn't really paying attention, Shelly and I were kind of having a side conversation. So let's add Smart Recovery.
Right.
And Celebrate Recovery. I know those two other ones.
That's why CR is one of the ones we
disclaim. Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
And then MM is Moderation Management. And what happened with the founder of Moderation Management, Shelly?
She killed herself in prison after she went out. Well, I wouldn't say it went out. She got
didn't moderate
drunk and,
very well.
Yeah, she got drunk and hit a family and killed a family of four.
That is heartbreaking.
And then when she was in prison, she killed herself.
And the program is still around.
The program is still around that she started. It's basically a way for you to keep track of how much you're drinking.
Keep track of how much you drink.
Which I did. I had a notebook and I wrote down exactly how much I drank because
what?
I figured my twisted thinking was that alcoholics don't know how much they drink. So if I knew how much I was drinking, I couldn't possibly be an alcoholic.
All the alcoholics
I knew,
all the alcoholics I knew bragged about how much they drank.
I know, right?
We counted drinks all the time. We're like, dude, I had 27 kamikazes in
an hour. Just telling you.
I mean, I stopped counting after a while, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But then I lost the notebook, and instead of thinking that was kind of really stupid, my big thought was, well, thank God I hadn't put my name in it. Then I just kept right on drinking.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's basically what the moderation management system is tracking your drinking and only allowing yourself to have certain, you know, it's a willpower kind of a thing, which we all know that doesn't work real well for us.
You know,
not for me.
I used to say it on the show. I'm like, if watching baseball keeps you sober, you should TiVo whoever your local baseball team is and watch them all the freaking time. Because, you know, people that quit cold turkey have about a 5% success rate. People in Alcoholics Anonymous. But there's always a thing on what they're using to determine what that is.
See,
because there was a facility I was at one time, and they were on a show with a bunch of other recovery facilities.
Yeah.
These recovery facilities are like, we have an 80% success rate, and we have a 90%. And this Las Encinas Hospital is like,
about Passages Malibu?
Well, no. Las Encinas Hospital was like, well, we have like a 23% success rate, and it made them look really bad, and they're like, but we're talking about people that get a year. And these guys are talking about people that get 60 days. You know, so it's like, yeah, we got 80% of our people make 60 days.
Well, and not only that, but I've heard that like with some of the programs, they go by like chips or like key tags, like how many 24-hour coins are handed out or whatever like that, right? Okay, so yeah. I know people that will pick up a 24-hour coin, good day, bad day, or just something to rub in your pocket, you know? So like not all of those, like you can't count every single 24-hour chip as a newcomer or someone who has relapsed or whatever because it's not accurate.
Well, and then what do you consider to be the success?
Right.
Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? It's like, is it you make it out of that 30-day program or like in the case where you work, you make it out of a 18-month program or whatever it is? It's like, what is the thing that determines that your person is staying sober forever? So
when
we always talk about the percentage, you know, like it talks about in the big book of – and because, you know, what I happen to do is I happen to do, 12-step. I do AA.
Right.
But, you know, it depends on if – you know, you're saying that 30 days is success or 100 days is success or a year because I got 30 days literally 100 times. And then how do you determine? Because I was the part of the percentage that went out a zillion times.
Yeah.
And then finally I stayed.
Yeah.
So it's like it depends when you talk to me. You talk to me any of my other recoveries, I got loaded. You talk to me this recovery, I was a 100% success.
Right. Well, and then, you know, and then so, and what was it, Shelley? Something moderation?
Moderation management.
Thank you. Okay, so, you know, there's that and then there's, you know, 12-step and then harm reduction is another thing that people do, you know?
Church.
So like, okay, so maybe, you know, you're not slamming, but you're still smoking pot. So that's a success, you know, that's considered a success. And I got a license. I was licensed by the state of Ohio before we moved out here to Arizona as a chemical dependency counselor's assistant one. And I was just kind of starting on that path, in the recovery industry. And, you know, I decided to not renew because I'm in Arizona now. But like what we're taught is that there's more than one pathway to recovery. And whatever that looks like, we have to honor that regardless of what program we work or don't work or whatever, you know. So it's something that I've been able to find a lot of like acceptance with. I know that some people in different programs are very hardcore about like, if you do this or if you do that, then, you know, you're not successful, we'll say, you know. And but I mean, I think whatever works for you, and it's not my place to judge. And if whatever works for you is different than what works for me, then, you know, bless your heart. That's
lot,
awesome.
That's a lot
that's
different
great.
Than Mark. Mark would say, oh, no, I'm going to judge you. So what do you think, Shelley?
I mean, I might judge you, but not professionally. That's all.
I think it's hard
judge.
To quantify. I think it's hard to quantify the percentage because you're saying it's 5%.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is The reason it's 5% is based loosely on a 2006 informal census of AA groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they haven't done one since then. They don't do the last one before that, I think, was like 1993.
Do they count court card people as being unsuccessful?
Well, and
because
it's not,
they just get their card signed and then they go back
you
to
can't
what they were
say,
doing?
I know that's right.
I think that 5%, which is based on that informal survey.
Sure.
There's no way to have a scientific number about this. There's no way to say it's actually 5%.
I completely agree.
Who do you consider a success when you're saying, you know, 1 year, 5 year, whatever? You're talking about abstinence. What about all the people that come in that are what it says in the big book is potential alcoholics, and they haven't quite crossed the line yet, and they come into AA and they go, wow, these MFers are totally screwed up. I am not living like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they actually do change their lifestyle.
They're right. just not coming
they
to
just,
the rooms. Right.
They're just
they
not coming into the rooms anymore.
Because
but they're not getting loaded or driving drunk or doing anything
right.
like that, and they have normal, productive lives.
Because what do we think when people stop showing up at meetings? Oh, they must be drinking.
They must be drinking.
So yeah, yeah.
And
until you see them at the supermarket, and they're like, no, actually, life's great. You know, like, everything's
fine. And
you're
fine. Like, wait a minute.
And then you're like, yeah. oh, well, you know, we'll just see how long
wait.
That lasts.
Oh, what do you got here? Oh, it's vitamin water.
No,
oh.
That happened to me with one of my sponsees, the famous one that tried to take her clothes off in the parking lot at the Alano Club and screaming, I got 90 days.
Do you mean the one that sang
yes.
the jingle tonight?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
However,
she's
you're
a little hot toddy too.
You're talking about someone
you're
who
rotten.
Had literally gotten loaded a total of 6 times in her life and was
but
sent.
But she went to kind of this high.
She went to a Christian school.
Yeah, this Christian school where they're like, they catch you drunk one time and they're like, you got to go to meetings.
So,
okay.
And the reason she ended up in the parking lot of the Alano Club was because I was her sponsor.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend, who was at the same school, didn't know what to do. And he said, well, isn't this where they take drunk people?
Yeah.
And I said, actually, yes, that is where.
Matter of fact,
you there.
That is, yeah.
And
he called me.
That's what we do.
And
what did she say when she got there?
She said, I got 90 days. And I'm like,
No, honey, you don't.
But
she's like pulling her clothes off of the parking lot. I got 90 days.
But
and
the
all
thing
the guys
is,
are like, shoop.
We're going through and we're working the steps. And as we're getting, you know, we got to her 9th step, and I didn't actually say this to her, but I kind of wanted to, and it turned out she came to me with it later, because what I wanted to say was, honey, I just don't think you're an alcoholic.
Man.
And then I saw her, I did, like, so we parted ways, and, you know, she eventually married her college boyfriend, and I saw her, like, 2 years later in the grocery store, like you're saying. And she was pregnant. She had a full-time job.
Yep.
They got married. They had a normal life. And she said, you know, it was funny when that last conversation we had, I think you're right, because I really didn't drink after that.
Okay, so
it's not like she was trying not to. She just, it wasn't really a part of her life.
I've been debating whether I was going to talk about this part of my life really at all or not. You know, and I know that we've made like a couple of references, like just, you know, about like where I work or whatever like that. And I'd kind of like to keep it to that. But the bottom line is, like, I work at this like school where mm-hmm. there are kids in recovery and
right.
You know, and so some of the kids no, absolutely not. Some of the kids have you can tell that they've got more problems than others, you know. And then there are these other kids and it's like, oh, well, I smoked pot for 2 or 3 months and you know, so
no,
my parents sent me to rehab. Yeah. And so, and it's like, well, hold on. Like, I don't even know that you're a potential, you know, addict
right.
or alcoholic or anything. And like the other part of it too is, I mean, just because you're partying, like, okay, so here's my train of thought whenever I first got sober, especially, you know, everybody parties to some extent during high school, like college, that kind of thing, right?
No,
so
I did.
What made me different, this is just my experience, what made me different is the fact that at some point, pretty much everybody else started like growing up, getting real jobs, having careers, buying houses, having nicer cars,
going to
you know,
college.
Well, no, they were like through college and they were pretty much done having all the crazy parties
right.
and stuff. And here I am still getting loaded and drinking and partying and stuff. And, you know, so at some point everybody else slowed down or stopped and I didn't. And that's why my story is different. And that's why I needed help, because I couldn't stop,
right.
you know, so I think that we need to be mindful whenever we get people, you know, in recovery centers, or whenever we get people in the rooms and they're, especially if they're younger and they're just kind of partying, like, are you experimenting or do you have a problem? So let's define that and see what that looks like for you.
We used to see that
before we just go throwing labels on people.
We used to see that at Charter.
Yeah, there was a woman that tried to put her kid in Charter for drinking too much Diet Coke.
Yeah, I mean, we had, like, they bring kids in that were like, you know, they're like still in high school or just out of high school, and they're like, you know, and they're like, yeah, you know what, I smoke weed sometimes. And my mom, like, freaked out, and she's like, you got to get sober. And the guy's like, yeah, I don't really get loaded that much. You know who's a perfect example of that? My daughter. So my daughter smokes weed.
Yeah.
Some days she does. Some days she doesn't. Some days I'm sure she gets totally cooked. Other days she doesn't. It's like, and it's illegal there and everything. And it's
kind of,
like,
annoying.
And it's, yeah. And I mean, it's like, and,
I know
and
what you mean.
So, you know, and I tell her, I say, you know, you got to be careful because your mom and I are both drug addict alcoholics. So I want you to be careful. And she looked at me one day and she goes, Dad, I smoke weed, and not all the time, but I do smoke. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, when you were my age, you were slamming cocaine on a daily basis and robbing liquor stores. And she goes, we're not all like you, Dad.
Right.
And I was like, ow.
We went out to dinner with them. There was one time we went, it was Joe's birthday. That's her husband, our son-in-law. We went out to dinner for his birthday, and she ordered some drink and drank half of it. And then when the waitress came back, said, can I have a Sprite?
That
is
so disrespectful.
What is wrong with you?
I can't even stand that. I was talking to my mother-in-law the other day, and she is one of those women. She's just like my mom, right? My mother-in-law and my mom are very similar, and they both will get like a full glass of ice and pour their beer over it, right? And then, like, I know, we're all making ugly faces, you know, like, ugh. Yeah, it sounds horrible to me, too, you know? Like, why would you want to water down a perfectly good beer? Well, I like the taste. No, you don't. You like water.
Why don't you just ice your mug like the way you're supposed to?
Well, you know, because they want to be able to sip it slowly. They want the ice to melt. They don't want to get too drunk. They want to, you know, and I don't understand that. I was literally just talking to my mother-in-law about this yesterday, and that's the difference between people like us and people that are like normal drinkers, you know, or whatever. Because she'll have friends at the bar, and she told me, she's like, you know, they'll ask me like, what are you doing? Okay, I call my mother-in-law mom too. Mom, those are your alcoholic friends. Like, if they're at the bar every day, like, I know it's not my place to, like, label other people, you know, or say what's
Mom,
going on with them.
Your friends are barflies.
But, I mean, come on. Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on. You're going to the bar every day. You don't understand
come
why
on,
somebody would just drink one drink with
front,
a beer
they're
in
like,
it. Like,
they're,
with,
like, taking off their Depends and throwing them up on stage.
Yeah, pretty much, especially in Tombstone. I mean, I love that town, but it's everybody. It's the town that's almost dead.
It's a town that's
it's not the town too tough to die.
You know what it is?
What?
It's the recovery too tough to die.
Accurate.
Hell yeah.
Accurate.
But okay, so by the way, Shelly, what would your final words on, what were we calling it? The different paths to recovery.
What are my final words? No, that's not my final word. My final words on it would be, you do you.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple, straightforward. How about you? What are your final words?
What other people think of me is none of my business, and, you know, same for them.
There you go. My thing is, whatever works. You know, if it's AA, great. If it's NA, great. If it's CA, great. If it's Celebrate Recovery, great. If it's going to church, great. If it's starting to go to the gym, whatever it is. Whatever it is for you, that's what you should do. We just talk about 12-step because that's what we happen to do. But whatever works for you. So, Shelly, who's the lead-out music by?
Whoever I choose. I'm going to make you stop asking that question.
Why?
I'm just going to pick one. Because it's the same, like, five people all the time. And I'll just pick one.
We
got some good stuff.
We could ask
my opinion.
We could ask. Well, what we have to have
is
stuff that we're legally allowed to use.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Buying licenses for it.
I gotcha.
Like, for instance, we can use Three Dog Night stuff. Like Joy to the World and Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. And you know those songs?
Of course, I do.
Oh. Well, because
I used to drink to those songs.
Because Chuck Negron is in program and he gave us permission.
Oh, right
on. My friends list on Facebook. So he's like, yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, no problem. And
very
I'm like,
cool.
Fantastic. Okay. So everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
And if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.